Mr. Chair, I move that the board go into a closed session as provided in KRS Section 61.810, Subpart 1, for following discussions, deliberation on the future acquisition or sale of real property by the university. And then whoever you care to have in that particular meeting.
Have a motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Have a motion and a second to go into closed section. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those like sign.
I move that we go back into open session.
Motion to go into open session. Hear a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye. Pose like sign. The board is now returned to open session. The discussions and deliberations during the closed session were restricted to those stated in the motion, and no formal action was taken by the board in closed session. We will now take a 7 to 10 minute break.
Closer to 10,
Regent Johnson says, and then we will return and conduct the other items of business we have for the executive committee. So it is, it will return at a quarter till 10. Regather.
Yes.
All right. So we are out of closed session, and we have a number of items on our action list. The first one, in particular, may require some discussion or comments. I hope that it does. I hope everyone had a chance to read that. It has to do with a university-wide diversity, equity, and inclusion plan for 2017 to 2022. This is a plan that is required, and an awful lot of work over a long period of time has gone into this. And President Caboni, I don't know if you want to make any comments about this, but it's a lengthy piece of information, and if you read the names and of the people that participated in this and the different committees, and it's gone through the CPE, and we'll go through the CPE again once it is approved by this board, but it's gone through our committees, and our provost has given his stamp of approval along the way, and so.
Regent Bell, I think this is it is important not just symbolically for the institution. That diversity and equity inclusion is a core tenet of who we are as a university. It will continue to be an important part of our strategic planning process. And most importantly, this is focused on our students and their success. And that's what we're all about at WKU. It's an important part of that effort, and I look forward to moving us toward implementation and in the coming year.
Okay.
Good morning.
You'd like to make some comments?
Yes, thank you. I am particularly excited about the diversity and equity and inclusion plan. It certainly is a work that has consisted of a number of hours, but then also significant collaborations across campus with both faculty, staff, and students, and some members of our Bowling Green community as well, to see diversity, equity, and inclusion as a value of not just the institution, but also the city of Bowling Green as a particular. So that's exciting. The document represents significant recommendations involving a number of stakeholders here on campus in order to create the environment where all of our students and faculty and staff can be successful. It truly is about cultural competency and about creating that environment here where we are able to help students persist to graduation. That is, the document itself is an opportunity for us to create that environment. And as a result of that environment, we're able to have persistence to graduation as an outcome. I'm also particularly excited. We've had two institutions. One of them is here today. The Eastern Kentucky University, a contingency is here, looking us and our diversity and equity inclusion plan over. And we also had a visit, about 8 individuals from the University of Kentucky who were with us earlier in the week, also taking a look at our DEI plan, in addition to some of the initiatives that we've already set in motion, the ISEC Scholars Academy, which we've already set in motion as both an outgrowth of this plan focused towards our persistence to graduation for our underrepresented minoritized students.
This document really speaks to what is most noble and best about a university, and things that we can at least aspire to. And it's interesting that others wish to come and see what work has been done, because clearly, I don't know how many hours were put in on this by all these people, but it would be an impressive total. And Barbara?
Comment. First of all, Dr. Holland, I can imagine the amount of work that went into this on the part of a lot of people. It is a very comprehensive document, and I congratulate you on all the people that were included. I'm really pleased with the three areas of focus that seem to fit into everything else we're doing. It all falls together, and I want to make a comment on just a couple of points that I think speaks to next steps, which are so important if you can have the plan. And on the plus side, I read the couple of special editions of the Chronicle this last week or so, which were on diversity, and you hit every point, okay? You hit absolutely every point. And I can't think of many things that you could put in here that are not already there. Which leads me to my point. On the in the opening, you talked about something that is so true. The ability to make this happen rests with faculty and staff. It is, and it's high quality, caring, concerned people. It is. And I know the committee was high quality and caring. I think the challenge for the committee, for the campus as a whole, is really in the implementation. So many things in here, you could get to the end and you can check them off, but I don't know we will have changed anything. And I was thinking last week or two of our comments that were spoken to us about public good, private good, or university. And in some ways, this is akin to this. This is a hugely important institutional priority and goal. And it's, in that way, it's institution-centric. And it's student-centric. But much of the way we're organized, the way we assign people, faculty in particular, is based on individual professional performance. And I think our big challenge is going to be how you find a way to connect the work that people do and the rewards and incentive systems to what is an institutional student-centric goal. I think that's... All of this is good stuff, but I think that until we can somehow find a way that what people feel they have to do to be professionally advancing and rewarded, it's going to be hard to make it happen. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think that's a challenge.
Richard Beck,
yeah.
Richard Burke, you're absolutely right, and my hope is that it, as we talk about a budget process that rewards certain performance, and you think about the context of Kentucky's performance management system and performance incentive system, that important metrics for us to meet as an institution that are tied to real dollars have to do with the attraction of, persistence of, and graduation of underrepresented minority students. And so what we have to make sure we're doing as an institution through our strategic planning process, and I'm proud that this is one of the core areas in which we're going to work, is that we have to align our resources and incentivize and reward the performance that we're seeking. And if you look at the different layers of incentive, they're lining up. They're lining up the state level, the CPE level, strategic planning level, and hopefully the budget level as well. When you get that kind of verticality, that's when you produce results. I think one of the places where we do have to work harder is on faculty roles and responsibilities and what that means for progression toward tenure.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we align that individual reward system with that performance? Thank you.
Okay. Andy?
One question that I have, and I know that I guess it's not been finalized in any way, but talking about maybe raising standards in the future with specifically our CAI scores. And turning to page 18, when we focus on the percentage increase that we hope to achieve over the next 5 years, how will raising those CAI scores practically impact these goals? Because I know that currently, like, there are a lot of underrepresented minority students who regarding retention, don't make it from year one to year two. And that's really addressed in page 23, and I think that that will help by raising the scores. But as far as actually enrolling those students from the Bowling Green community, like, how will that be impacted?
Our commitment is to make sure that we are seeking out students and inviting them to join us here at WKU, who we know that we that they can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an element of every student that we admit, and I'm going to underline and underscore every student that we admit, we are going to do everything in our power to help that student be successful. So we want excellence. We want academic excellence. We want behavioral excellence. So the students that we admit, we will create that safety net for them and partner with them and partner with their parents and honor the trust that the student has placed in us and honor the trust that the parent has placed in us, that we will do everything in our power. Now, that doesn't mean that the student shouldn't be just as invested as we are, because it is a partnership, 100% to 100%. So it's an excellent question, Andy, and it's one that institutions across the nation are wrestling with. And there are good students out here, and we know this, and we will seek them out, and we will bring them here, and we will help them to persist from year one to year two, and then on to graduation.
Okay, thank you.
As I read and tried to digest this, one of the things I thought about and occurred to me was one of the presentations we heard last week in Louisville, where Complete College America, which is a consortium all across America that costs nothing, that exists to try to help universities meet these challenges, and diversity was part of that, along with the retention and all. So I know John was taken with that speaker and actually spoke to him afterwards.
Tom Sugar.
And who expressed his willingness even to come to campus sometime and perhaps hold a symposium that we could have with faculty and staff and students. So, they are doing some practical things and can show you statistics on what they've done in some of this. So, I don't know.
The timing is perfect, because as Dr. Bell says, it would have been premature to bring someone to the campus prior to this excellent work that Dr. Hoffman has done. Because then it begins to reinforce what we already have embraced. And in this case, he very eloquently spoke about when you bring up the minority and misrepresented students, you bring the level up of all the students at the campus. And it's statistically proven. It's not just a wish and a hope and a dream. So, you know, a strategy is not a hope. And I think it would benefit this group to have him come and speak to us, and he's more willing, and it's Indianapolis to hear. But it would reinforce this marvelous work that you've done. Dr. Bale and I both thought that would be something that would add to what you're doing. And this is an independent, outside of education, funded by big hitters.
Luminous, a lot of foundations.
Carnegie Mellon, the Gates Foundation, and they have no axe to grind. They are after graduation rates, and this fits right hand in glove with trying to help the community embrace this concept.
Universities in 42 different states are part of the consortium, so it's out there, and it's worthy of us looking into, I think. I don't want to leave staff out of this discussion. I'm going to see if Tamla has anything to say. Tamla, over the last 4 years, has taught me a lot about how important staff is and what they do. And, you know, we've heard from faculty, we've heard from students. And Tamla, I would be willing to bet you have some comments on this.
Well, again, I think they did just following up with everybody else. And there was a lot of quality staff that were involved, as you said, on the development plan. And it mentioned several times, and, you know, faculty are important, but the staff also provide a lot of those key roles as far as extra assistance outside. If you're looking at the inclusive advising, if you're looking at helping out, you know, with special financial needs and some of the things I was looking at in here that were mentioned, there's several areas that are certainly will be supported by the staff at the university. That's important. And, you know, I've been very pleased to see on page 30, that increased representation of faculty and staff of color through a formalized recruitment and retention process, because I think that's very important. There's so many areas that we're lacking, and being able to see that faculty and staff are included on that side as well, as far as, you know, just the inclusion on that. So I think it's an excellent plan. It's, a lot of work has gone into this, obviously, and it's every area, and it's just, you know, staff will be glad to support it and help implement everything.
That's a question. Can you address how you might, once this plan has been approved and adopted, how you propose or how the university proposes to implement it, how you propose to address the students, the faculty, Senate as a whole, and how you monitor after that?
It's an excellent question, and with the assistance of President Caboni, who is in the process of creating the strategic working groups, and he has respectfully asked if I would be willing, along with, can I say that? No, I may not say that. Other members of the campus community to serve as a member of the strategic planning process. So we will fold this plan into that strategic planning process relative to diversity, equity, and inclusion. So there's an element of seamlessness. As far as awareness, making the campus community aware of what we're doing, I would like a splash. I would like to bring in a guest speaker. I'd like us to spend a day with the plan, having conversations with multiple stakeholders across the community. And then we begin the hard work. Embedded within the diversity, equity, and inclusion task force, what we've been working for the last 14 months or so to there are three working groups. One of those working groups focuses on faculty, another working group focuses on staff, and the third working group focuses on students. So those individuals, engaging them in conversations on how we unveil this, how we unfold this. One of the first things, and this is kudos to Robin's camp, Robin's folks have created a diversity, equity, and inclusion website. It is very well done. It is a central portal of all the things that we're doing here on campus, whether it's in academic affairs or student affairs, that focus on DEI. It's that sense that this is pervasive. It isn't a tack on. It isn't something that we do extra, that it is part of our core mission, part of what we do, part of who we are. So there are multiple things, but there are three areas that I'd like to begin focusing on first. I think these are mission critical. That first area is a recruitment plan for our faculty and staff that brings representation, additional representation to the program. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that we begin focusing on a plan to recruit, attract students, particularly high quality, high academic quality, underrepresented minoritized students. And then the third thing is that we begin focusing on cultural competency. And I am pleased to say that some of that groundwork has already taken place. The Gordon Ford College of Business, Potter College, and Ogden just this summer were involved in bringing a speaker here to spend almost 2 days with faculty within those colleges, focusing on diversity excellence. How do we become excellent as an institution? So those are some of the things initially that we will be focusing on when creating this incredible adventure. I do want, and I know sometimes it sounds a bit Pollyanna, but I'm okay with that. This institution can be the place where our students in the state of Kentucky and in the region come and find an environment that supports them in order to be successful. This institution. All the pieces are there. And I think this institution, if we can have that claim to fame in the state, that you can go to these other institutions, but if you really want a place that's student-centered, if you really want a place that embraces students of all ilk, this is the place. And embraces faculty and staff, this is the place. So I'm asking people around the campus to be Pollyanna with me. What do we have to lose?
Well, I can tell you that's a vision this board can embrace and support and will. And we're fortunate to have someone like you who's got those thoughts and dreams running around in your head. Make that a reality.
One further question that I have in achieving this dream, I'm really pleased that on page 31 you referenced the Pride Center, because I know that in all of my talks with the LGBTQ student community here, that's something that they've been striving for a long time, and I'm happy to see that come to fruition. But I was also wondering about the accountability and implementation of this vision with ISEC, because I know that we want to make sure that all underrepresented minority students are included in these spaces, but I know that like right now, ISEC, especially with ISEC Academy, primarily their scholars are predominantly African American. And I know that within page 26 with the strategic targeted living learning communities, they've referenced the inclusion of Asian, Native American, multiracial, and Hispanic students. And I was wondering if there's some way for like greater accountability with that so that student success of all of those groups can be achieved and the not marginalization of one group within the underrepresented minority community, especially as we try to achieve safe spaces where everyone feels included within the campus community.
Definitely. The fascinating thing right now is that there are so many conversations happening about DEI across the campus community. So some of those things and some of those concerns, Andy, that you were mentioning are bubbling up. The individuals who are serving on the committee, the larger committee, it's strategic. If you think about Fabian Alvarez, who is
head of OLAS,
the advisor of OLAS, many of the initiatives for all students, not just our Latino, Latina, Hispanic community, but many of the initiatives in the plan have bubbled up from conversations with OLAS and conversations with our with Dr. Alvarez. Even as we look at creating the global village, that concept of a village in our residence halls, the concept is that when we create an environment for our underrepresented minoritized people, it impacts the rest of the campus community. So we can begin to move away from safe spaces, because the campus is a safe space. Does that make sense?
Right.
We move away from that. And so with creating more unity amongst our URM students, as opposed to the specialized, unique boutique areas, we will accomplish that particular goal.
Okay.
The Intercultural Student Engagement Center is named the Intercultural Student Engagement Center for a reason.
Right.
Intercultural.
Mm-hmm.
It's an all folks, all people. Mm-hmm. It was easy in many ways, or very convenient, to focus on ISPEC scholars. Those students were already at the ready. We had a program called Project Early Start. We were able to fold that right over to execute some of our DEI recommendations.
Right.
But I want it all.
Mm-hmm.
I want the ball.
And I guess in the future, not specifically referencing safe spaces, but since this is sort of institutionalized as ISEC Academy, just making sure that there is representation of all of the groups that are mentioned. Like, what are the specific goals in ensuring that that happens? Like, that sort of accountability.
It's happening.
Okay.
Already beginning to have those conversations with our Latino student communities, and of course our LGBTQIA plus communities.
Okay.
Virtually staffed student affairs.
The other thing, this plan is a work in progress. And yes, it has been reviewed with other folks. There are new ideas, new things. Even though I think the committee did an excellent job formulating their thoughts and representing here, there are things that when you broaden out and you bring other people to the table, there are other things that we realize we need to make sure that we emphasize too.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Good questions. Thank you. Any other questions, comments before we ask for a motion? Right.
So move approval.
Have a motion for approval of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Plan. Have a second, David. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. No offense, man.
David's not on our committee.
Sorry about that, David.
Okay. Don't think we even need a second. Is that correct?
You just technically need one, but...
I'll second.
Second from Julie. Let's vote again. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Holland. Great work. And keep it up. Next item is approval of some naming for some designated rooms. Anyone want to present that? Who are we going to have presenting that?
John Paul King.
John Paul?
So I believe there's just one on the list today.
Looked pretty good.
We passed it, John Paul, on our way here.
Passed it on, that's right.
Yes.
The named phone booth. I wish Reed and Redley could hear this. As you walk down the hallway, I was talking about your phone booth.
Oh, okay.
Just real quick. As you walk down, you see these beautiful red British phone booths, one of which has Regent Redley and his wife's name on it for gifts to the Honors College. And today we're presenting one more of those to be named based on a gift from Dr. Gordon Kingsley, who Regent Redley knows well also. He's the retired principal of Harlaxton College and was a key figure, obviously, in our long-time relationship with them. And as a result of his fondness for WKU, and also I'm sure his relationship with Regent Redley, he made a gift in April that we are honoring through the naming today.
Okay, very good. Candy?
Just a slight comment. So as it's typed here, it's spelled incorrectly, as opposed, there's just a typo discrepancy. I'm just bringing that to people's attention. In the room area name, it says Kinsley instead of Kingsley. Just a slight typo.
Uh-huh. So which one is correct?
Generously provided by Gordon Kingsley.
Kingsley?
It should have the G. All right.
I think it's etched in the phone booth. That's correct.
Look under it.
Let me run out.
Not you re-etch.
In case you hadn't known, anybody's got Andy in the classroom better be on their toes. I'm a professor. Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Like sign.
This is an excellent example of Friends of the University. Gordon has a passion for this place. I'm going to tell a quick story on Gordon because I think this makes sense. Not to reference any other university. He has sent one of his vice presidents over here, and Gordon constantly talks about the energy and the spirit as you walk across the WKU's campus. Then this comes from someone who is the president of several universities and has a fantastic career. He said, "You just feel it. I just love being there. It's this passion." So he sends this Englishman over here to study, and Carolyn and I entertained, and he went back, and this is what he said. He says, "The difference between most universities and WKU is the difference between cheese and chalk."
Wow.
Which I thought, but for English humor, that was just fantastic. So, the spirit exists for me, but Gordon has a passion here, and there are many people out there that
we have to do that.
So, thank you for doing this for Gordon.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Item number three, we have an issue with ownership on Normal Drive. We'll give you the stage again, Mark.
Also, Brad, I think there's a typo.
There is a typo. Absolutely.
Yeah. I just wanted to point that out. I caught it after several Moscow mules. And when I was reading this on my trip to Portland, and I kept thinking, I can't count. And I was kind of worried. And then I still read it that way, you know, this morning when I reviewed it. So just wanted to point that out.
But you didn't know why I was
We've got three items to discuss this morning. The first item is authorization for WKU to accept ownership of property formerly known as 1780 Normal Drive. The property is located directly across the street from Zacharias Hall. This is Normal Drive. This is University Boulevard. This is down here at the roundabout. And PPAS house is located at the corner of that location. The 1780 Normal Drive is this property right here. It's now a parking lot. There used to be a white house. The property address. This is the present view of that property. This is our University Boulevard lot. This is PPAS house. This is Normal Drive. The house used to sit right, I believe, on the right side of the building. The property was acquired by a joint partnership between us and the WKU Real Estate Corporation on April 9th, 2004. WKU paid 50% interest in the property. We paid $50,000 for that property. We secured the balance of that property through a charitable remainder unit trust signed with the WKU Real Estate Corporation. WKU, as of July 8, 2008, we signed and entered into a lease with which we leased the property from the WKU Real Estate Corporation. We demoed the house, we improved the property and expanded the real estate corporation, and it made a lease payment to the Real Estate Corporation for the cost of the trust agreement. Our final payment will be made on or before May 6, 2018, and the lease agreement we signed states that the property will transfer to the university at the conclusion of that, the final payment that we made for the Real Estate Corporation. So there will be no more debt remaining on the property, and we recommend postponing the recommended transfer of the property over to the university.
Can you explain the Real Estate Corporation?
Real Estate Corporation is a arm of the WKU Foundation and holds real estate property on behalf of the foundation for the benefit of the university. And the property is handled with donations, acquisitions, strategic acquisitions, trusts, charitable minor trusts, those kinds of things. It's just a separate entity that holds property.
Okay,
but it resides underneath
the foundation. That's correct.
It's an arm of the WKU Foundation.
Don't you have to take them individually?
Oh, you
committee?
Have to. I don't know.
I think so.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you. Any other questions? I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion by Regent Johnson. Second by Julie Henson. To accept and transfer 50% ownership of the Normal Drive property as presented. Any further discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. Okay, the next item is on Alumni Drive. Brad, roll on.
This action will be authorization for WKU to accept ownership for 104 Alumni Avenue Clinical Education Complex. Clinical Education Complex, most of you are aware of where the property is at. This is our street lot. There's a lot of little parking. I mean, this is the actual property outlines that used to exist in the Kentucky Adams Street parking lot. Currently, the Student Life Foundation buildings are here. Of course, the WKU Alumni Center is up above that. The Clinical Education Building is down here at this location between Kentucky and Adams. Picture of the facility. The property is currently owned by the WKU Real Estate Corporation. WKU currently maintains the facilities and operations of the facilities. We also maintain the programs that operate through the facility. The building originally cost $2.7 million, includes 15,180 square feet of classroom, office, and programs. The building was constructed through donors, contributions, and WKU lease payments. Currently, the WKU Real Estate Corporation has no debt outstanding on the facility. Presently, we operate everything in the facility and maintain the facility. So, obviously, makes sense. Any questions?
Questions? Discussion? Not going to entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion by Regent Johnson. Second. Regent Ridley, any other discussion? If not, all those...
I have one question. So this will go into inventory, real estate inventory, owned by WKU University property.
That's correct. I'd like to make note, too, the Real Estate Corporation Board also needs to take action, so you will have to
take place. We accept a giveaway.
All those in favor, say aye. Opposed, like sign, passes. All right, we'll move out to Nashville Road.
Tour of duty here.
Yeah.
This is authorization for WKU First to accept ownership of land and improvements held in trust located at 2700 Nashville Road and transfer a portion of the property back to the WKU Foundation. This is a picture of the CRD property. This is Nashville Road here. This is the speedway at the corner. This is Campbell Lane. Everybody should be familiar with this intersection.
It's the old mall, isn't it?
Yeah, the old mall. Yeah. I was trying to avoid saying that.
Sorry. That's right. Show my age. Thanks a lot, Ridley.
Show my age.
Currently, this is there's a lot of jokes sometimes. There's less than foundations up here. The less than the tape on the ground. You can't tell who owns what in this section in regard to what the foundation has and what the university owns. We currently own everything in the yellow, and the foundation owns all the other outlying properties here. This is lot 9, lot 8, 7, 6. This is lot 2. The foundation has previously disposed of lots 3, 4, 5, and 10 listed up there. And we've never owned, none of our entities have ever owned the corner.
Right, could you give us a reference where Nashville Road is?
Nashville Road is this direction here.
Okay, thank you.
It's way up there on that corner.
This would be the big lots. Are you familiar with that?
Right.
And that sliver that we never owned a part of would be the speedway. Right.
No. That's correct. Yeah,
So two, which one is eight?
It's kind of like a parking lot.
Yeah, parking lot. And that's a parking lot specifically supports the Dell. This building is the Dell customer service center. The first proposal would transfer all of this property to the university. So that would be lots 2, 6, 7, 8, 9. Second proposal would transfer a small portion of lot 2, lot 6, 7, and 9. The university would retain a majority of 2, which would allow the university to retain ownership of property fronting both Campbell Lane and Nashville. The building lands jointly owned by WKU and the WKU Foundation. WKU acquired its portion of the property through a state grant, and we paid $2 million for the property. And then the foundation, which is roughly, I didn't put the amount down, it's roughly about $2.7 million, the foundation acquired the balance through a charitable remainder trust. The foundation owns 96,000 square feet of approximately 275,000 square feet under the roof, and they own lots 2, 6, 7, 8, 9, totaling approximately 13.5 acres. The foundation's previously sold 3, 4, 5, and 10, and the intentions are to sell the remaining parts of lots 2, 6, 7, and 9, with the proceeds being used to create an endowment for the benefit of Western Kentucky.
Can you go back to the big picture again? So, no, the yellow. I'm sorry. So, so where Big Lots is that the white now?
Yes.
Okay, and that becomes yellow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that would remain yellow.
I've got a question.
I think that's the proposal, the foundation.
Walk me through this a little bit. We're taking two, you're proposing two separate actions here. Within the first is to acquire, and the second is to transfer.
Okay.
This may be more for Deborah, again, I apologize, Deborah, but as a state institution, do we have any sort of obligations with respect to appraisals or anything of that nature before we transfer property?
Do I have to speak up, Deborah? Ain't here.
Not an arm's length transaction. I think to kind of wrap it all up, and stop me if I'm wrong, the trust requires that the foundation transfer to the university. So that step must be taken.
Okay.
And you're going to transfer the parts back to the foundation. Dispose of it. Put that money in the endowment.
So we transfer it back without any consideration. I mean, that's...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Just,
with the understanding that all of the funds go into the endowment.
Okay.
We will have
an understanding or a contract?
With the foundation.
And my question would be, why don't we just do that ourselves? Why are we transferring money back to a foundation that we have nothing to do, that we have no control over as a board? I don't understand. There's no tax benefit because the trust has already been dissolved. It appears to me that that big building and that footprint is not enough parking left over if you sell all that other off. So then we've got a strategic plan to figure out what we're going to do with that building with no parking. So there's a lot of dynamics to this that I don't know that we ought to do the second step.
Well, I think what Deborah's saying, John, is that we have to because we've come to the conclusion of the trust.
No, we.
I'm not sure I agree with it, but I mean, I'm...
No, that brings it all to WKU.
Okay.
Now what we're saying is the next step is we're going to give back real estate to the trust, to the foundation, so they can sell it and establish an endowment that will benefit WKU.
Congratulations, return.
They're currently having conversations, and this sort of answers an appraisal question too when I say this. This property up here is problematic. Here's a sinkhole located on this property. Mm-hmm. A lot of drainage associated with this property. There's been a proposal that someone might be willing to develop a small front section of this. They have this to replace the drainage. And so there's some, the hard part about it is you can't appraise that property because it's a site condition issue.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what it would cost from an investment standpoint to make this a viable site location. So there's been ongoing conversations about particularly these two front parcels of property, and they've had ongoing conversations. At any time during the 14 years of the trust agreement, the foundation could have entered into an agreement to sell those parcels off. They, in my judgment, have wisely chosen not to do that, and they did hold on to those properties waiting for the right time and right opportunity. These properties have been listed for sale for probably a better part of 2 or 3 years while they were owned by the foundation, and they had every right under the trust agreement to dispose of the property. Leadership waiting for the right time and opportunity.
That was just my question. Let me ask this question. In the event that we accept, it seems to me that we're accepting the entirety and then parceling out a portion.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then I assume that just like in your last comment, there has to be approval on the foundation side as well. Or has that approval already been? All right, so my question is what occurs in the event that we decided we'll take the property, but we're not necessarily willing to transfer it out just yet? I'm not saying that's what they want to do, but I'm just saying what would happen? And would we violate any particular agreements?
There's ongoing interest in my judgment. There's ongoing interest in these parcels. It's been expressed by the community, and so if anything, we do want to quickly resolve any kind of transfer issues so we know which parties in the process of having conversations about potential liquidation of these properties.
There's another element that we need to consider is that if we get the real estate, then everything that we do has to be discussed and so forth in an open session. And when you're dealing with property and evaluations and potential owners and what's going to do, that's one another reason why the foundation got the real estate to begin with, is so they could act on the best action forward, and that doesn't have to be all out and discussed. So,
and the other thing to remember is that in the case of the WKU Foundation, it was chartered to support Western Kentucky University. And so the understanding between the university and the foundation is the foundation's decisions are going to be designed to support the university. And so I don't think there should be any question or any doubt in that. The decisions that they make are in the university's best interest as well.
Okay. Any other?
Well, the endowment rest still within the WKU Foundation?
Within the foundation.
Brad, that 7 and 8, they're grassy. They're not really actually parking, are they?
Yes.
But they're not utilized very much.
Yes, 8 is utilized heavily.
Okay, is 8, because that's, I'm trying to get my, okay.
Yeah.
We don't have problems with foundation.
This is sort of pretty close to what
Genesis
like
on top of all that. If I was U of L, I'd have a problem.
Parking is generally supports the big lot space. This is sort of the CRD offices, and this parking supports the front section of this building here.
Yeah.
We do use some of this parking in the back. This is never used.
Because I remember there's section not used. That's right, and that's what I was trying to get.
I did put a condition when we drafted this and talked to Brian Russell. We did put a condition here. There is a restriction on this property, and we do want the foundation to resolve that restriction before this property is at any time disposed. So we've got several restrictions we put in this transfer to make sure that we meet the university's interest, because it's all well and good for them to sell the property and the benefit of WKU and collect those resources and funds, but we do not want to do anything that compromises the existing value of the remaining parcels of the university will
I think this has been a good, healthy discussion. I don't want to cut it short if people have more to say, but I think the other thing that is clear is we do have a very healthy, transparent relationship with our foundations, and that certainly figures into any dealings that we have, and we can be thankful and take satisfaction in the fact that we do have healthy, transparent relationships.
So that I can understand, right now the WKU Real Estate Corporation is getting ready to make this transaction through the vehicle of WKU Foundation. Is that where it is?
No, the WKU. This property is different because it's owned by the WKU Foundation.
Not the corporation.
Not the real estate corporation. That is that,
again, just make sure everything's clear.
In trust.
And then, if you throw up the picture of what we will end up with, that's WKU. No.
That's correct. That's what we will end up with if both these transactions occur.
Okay, that's not what your title says. Your title says WKU 2.
The white part is the white part.
Yeah.
Well, you're referencing the white, not the yellow. Okay,
yeah, that's correct.
All right, I got it. Okay.
We're taking ownership of everything in the yellow.
6 and 7 are parking, but it's not utilized much, correct?
6 and 7, this is where your grass space is.
Okay, the grass space. Okay, that's okay.
Yeah, this is grass space. This is really grass space. There's some pavement here on 7.
I don't remember there being much park. I mean,
there's no way to use them.
That's right. So it could be sold off for someone to utilize, like a Starbucks or a drive-in type.
And there have been interest in all, either I or the foundation, there have been loose conversations about all of these functions.
And that's a hard place to get in and out of.
It is.
Not either, if you're going on the opposite way you turn.
One of the challenges.
On that corner, on both sides.
Chairman, I'll call the question.
Have a motion?
I think, Chair, what I'll do is, based on my understanding, we don't have a legal obligation for appraisal of what Deborah said and what Brad presented, and I'll make that motion. I shall move.
Okay. Have a motion and a second to approve item number 5 as described. Any further discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. Thanks. That's required some explanation. So, item number 6 has to do with equipment pool. Who is presenting that? I hope someone is here to tell us about that.
Well, it should be Brian Russell.
Brian's not here. Okay.
Let's move to the next one. So we can.
Yeah. We will move to item number 7, and if Brian is in the vicinity, perhaps he can get here quickly. Item number 7 is to seek interim authorization of the College Heights Foundation building project. That sounds like a Brian Russell, too.
Mr. Chair, if you'd like me to describe either of these, I'm happy to step
in. If you're comfortable doing that.
Yes, in his stead. Item number 6, what the university has received from Aramark is a private gift to be used to purchase furniture. Because Aramark can't buy those pieces of furniture directly, It essentially is passed through the university so that we can acquire that for the new Hilltopper Hall, where there's a dining facility in the bottom, and we want to be approved to go ahead and make those equipment purchases so that we can have essentially a restaurant installed. And so there'll be dining facilities on the ground floor. It's an important part of the building. But again, it flows through the university because they can't purchase directly.
Okay.
Make a motion to accept.
Have a motion to approve. I hear a second.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion on item number 6? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Let me just add this one comment. You notice both this one and the next one say interim authorization. We don't have legislative approval. So these are easy to get approval for them as private fundedly projects, but technically you act and then we take it through a committee.
So noted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like so. President Cavone, you did such a good job on 6. I think we're going to give you a shot on 7.
Thank you, Regent Dale. We also have a request to move into a design phase and on a project that is essentially the replacement of the College Heights Foundation building. We have a donor that has pledged $800,000 toward that project. They're continuing fundraising on it, and will finance some. The College Heights Foundation will finance some portion of it, perhaps. But this is just approval for us to move into the design phase and to look at what that project ultimately will become. And there is it's a combination of where it will rest, number one, and number two, what does the facility look like. There was some initial conversation that it would be a renovation. I think the College Heights Foundation Board is currently in conversations now about, does that actually make sense? I think it's unlikely that it becomes a renovation of the existing facility and winds up, I think, would be either a tear down or building a completely new structure on a different site.
It's not the same $3 million on number 6, is it?
It is not. No, it is not. No, it is not. Separate.
I'll make a motion.
Have a motion to approve item number 7.
I'll second.
Have a second. Any further discussion?
I'm very familiar with this project, and I think this is a good thing for the university. The process is being followed quite by the book, how it should be done, and my support.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, like sign. That motion passes. That concludes our action items. Very briefly, I want to again emphasize the importance of the strategic planning process that will soon be getting off ground and will have a great deal to do with everything we've talked about today and what we'll be talking about going forward. So look forward to our Board of Regents being intimately integrated into that process, and be hard to overstate the importance of that. The other thing I want to note, with a bit of sadness for me personally, and I think at our board, this is Regent Birch's last official meeting. She will pass the baton at our October meeting, and you know, Barbara is a force to be reckoned with. Her experience in higher education over many decades, I think it's hard to overstate the richness that brings to a board. And she's brought her wisdom, her energy. Lord knows she has taken this job seriously, and I think has read every word that's been put before every meeting. Her counsel throughout the presidential search process was of great importance and benefit to me personally, and I think to the committee and to the board. And she's served her alma mater in an extremely fine fashion.
Thank you.
So.
Very
we will appropriately recognize her at our next meeting. But that's just a warm-up. All right. Any other business to come before our committees today? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. Regent Higdon is still down there, huh?